Well, good morning. If you weren't here Wednesday, you missed the service Wednesday. We had a great service on Wednesday. We had a moving of the Lord. It was just wonderful. God healed some people and does what he always does. It's always good. And so just mark that on your calendars for that first Wednesday. We actually tripled in attendance this last Wednesday from the first Wednesday before. So I'd like to triple again. And that's what, you know, that's going to happen because you know why? Not because I'm here, because God was here. And if you're a believer, he's here now. He's inside you. The kingdom is inside you. Well, we're going to start a new series today, but let's first welcome our online group. God bless you guys. So good to have you with us. We're going to start a series talking today about the listening ear. The listening ear. And so we need to know how to, it's one thing, we all want to follow God, but we need to know how to hear him so we know what to do. And so we're going to talk about that, and that's what he's told me to speak on, so I'm excited to do that. But we all have the ability, you need to understand, you have the ability to hear God's voice. We all have that ability. And we have the want to, but how many know sometimes your want to needs to be activated a little bit? We have to put something behind our want to. I mean, I want to play the piano, but if I don't take any piano lessons, how many knows I don't really want to play the piano, but I'm not going to play the piano. So I have to have some action with that or some, because God put a desire, then you got to put something with it. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to accomplish that? So, did you know this, that God wants to talk to you, not just a select few? He wants to speak to every one of his kids, not just the super saints, not the ones that we just say, oh, he's going to talk to this or this person or that person, but he wants a relationship with each of us. And that brings a lot of comfort to me because we've all grown up in a world that picks sides, don't we? Have you ever played any kind of sport and you choose two team captains and they get to pick? Nobody wants to be the last one or two because whoever picks the last determines the other person's going to the other team, and obviously they didn't want them or they'd have picked them. And so then you go in there already thinking, and then you know, even see some of the players, you just feel that's kind of the earth cursed society. And God is saying that's not his way. His way is perfect. And he loves everything about you because he created you. And he wants to talk to you. I got saved in 1980, January 2nd, and I was changed for sure. Excuse me. And, and the friends I had before, when I got back to them the next time I worked, they were saying, "What, Gleese, what is different about you? Something's different about you." And I didn't tell them anything, but once they said that, then I told them, I gave my heart to Jesus. And they were like, oh, no. But my relationship with God just increased. Did I know what I was doing? Probably not really. Most of us don't. You know, we just kind of get started and we know something's different. We're glad about it. Then we're excited about it, but we kind of don't know what, you know. And I told you those stories of unfreezing the lock and arm in the grease and, you know, all those kind of things where God just supernaturally did stuff. And they're just like, I don't know what it is. And, you know, so there was resistance and I was changing and it was kind of exciting, but it was also kind of tough because the people that really liked you before, they weren't quiet about not liking me now. And they even told me, I like the old Brett. You know, I just like, you know, you're no fun anymore. Well, define fun. You know, I mean, what good is fun if you're just going to blaze a trail to hell? You know, party in hell's canceled due to fire. Just saying. So I'm just saying, you know, I had changed. I started changing. And what's crazy about it is some of the things that I liked before, even as a believer that, like, you know, even maybe a movie you watched and you were a believer and you're like, oh, that movie's great, it's funny. And then about a year later or something, you go watch it and you're like, why did I like this? Is that, besides me, has that ever happened? You're like, oh, What's changed? You have. You have grown closer to God, and some of those things just don't even appeal to you anymore because, listen to me, because you became dead to them. They are not part, they're not speaking into your life anymore. You have something better speaking into your life. Why don't we want to give an ear to that? Most of my relationship when I first started with God was a monologue. I grew up with Johnny Carson. Anybody else? Yeah, there's only like two of us in here, you know. The rest, Johnny who? I mean, it was just like the late night show. David Letterman took over after Johnny, okay? So you might know him. Jay Leno, the Dorito guy. We'll make more. The big long chin, you know. All right. But anyway, you know, they'd come out at the beginning of every show and just tell jokes and just, they weren't talking to anybody, asking questions. They're just saying funny things and saying statements. That's kind of how my life was with God. It was just, God, you know, I had a preconceived idea. God, you're, you know, big and you're, you know, and I'm blah, blah, blah. And I would just blast these things, never really asking or wanting to hear, because what if he told me something I didn't like? So it was a monologue. It wasn't a dialogue. A dialogue is where, like PK and I, we talk. I say something, she says something. She says something, I say something. We go back and forth. You like this, I don't like that. Do you want to go eat here? How many knows how many husbands have had that talk? I don't care, wherever you want to go. Bridging that gap? They do care where you go. They might say they don't care, but they do. But anyway, it's a dialogue. And, it's just working with, you know, I'm not going to give God advice, but I was never asking, you know, it was pretty much just, thanks God, love our talk, bye. And we never really talked. But I heard him, I mean, I was thankful, I knew I'd been changed, I knew I'd been saved, but I heard him through my Bible, because people say, God just doesn't talk to me. He does, if you read your Bible, he does, because that's how he talks. He's always talking through the Word. We've had people come and argue, he's just not talking to me, because you're looking for God to audibly say something. He can, and he has, to different people. I've heard him audibly at times. I get it. But you know what? That's not a normal thing. He would rather talk to you in his Word. Because listen to what I'm trying to tell you. He wants you to use faith. You need to understand that. Because what does faith do to God? It pleases him. It's easy. If God walked right here in human form and said, how's everybody doing? We'd be like, hey. But to say God lives in us and lives through us, these are the hands of Jesus. Not really Jesus' hands, but he's in me, and if he's in me, these are his hands. I have healing in these hands. I have the greater Spirit of God, the resurrecting power of God inside of me. Do I believe that, or do I have to have a physical sign? Jesus talked about it in the Word. You know, rather than keep you here all afternoon, he's saying, do you believe? Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, knowledge. We need knowledge. So how does God, what are the things and all the, you know, just to be able to go, okay. How do we know his voice? I think in the beginning when I was first saved, I heard it many, many times. And I think you probably could say, you heard God talk to you, but you didn't know. You weren't sure. You'd have a thought that'd be like, was that me? Or was that God? I don't know. And we'd just pass over it. Sometimes it would be something so silly that you'd be like, nah. It'd be on the way home. Don't go that way. I want you to go this way. I don't want to go that way. Why was I thinking that? I'm going this way. And there's an accident and you're stuck there for about 40 minutes. And you had an appointment to go to. He was trying to tell you, go another way. And you went, nah. So many times I think we've passed over God just having that relationship with us, but we didn't know it. We didn't see it. For me to be here today, I'm really thankful for his grace and that he's patient with me. But for me here, I couldn't have done this without hearing his voice. I mean, I really couldn't. I'm not that good. I know that's crashing to you, but I'm not. It would have me doing my own ideas and my own things, and they would not have the impact, nor would they even really probably do anything but flop it if it was just me. But so I'm thankful for the relationship I have with God. He makes me look good. He speaks to me, and he makes me look good. I couldn't have done this on my own. He supernaturally has intervened in times where, like, he said, I need you to give this. I need the church to do this. And I'm like, have you seen the bank account? And he's quiet then. And he'll tell me again, I want you to give this. Again, have you seen the bank account? And he's quiet. And then he'll say something like, Brett, I need you. And so the church will be, okay. And then all of a sudden, something comes from out of left field that I never knew, but how many knows he does? And it just keeps us going forward. I'm not that good. God's wisdom is infinite. He sees what we cannot. He knows what's coming. He can prepare us. Now, we can get wisdom because we can ask his Spirit, and we can have an idea of what's coming. He can reveal things to us, for sure. But if we're not taking time to listen, how many knows God never loses? He's never involved in anything that is a lost cause. You are not a lost cause. You might be saying, you don't even know what's going on in my life. I might not know everything, but God does, and you are not a lost cause. He has his hand on you. Now, you might not be happy with what's going on, and God is maybe not doing any of that. But because you're his, he will take care of you. Somebody say amen. The sad fact is most believers don't know how to hear the voice of the Lord, and that's why we're starting this series. John 10:3-5 says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, yet will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. That's just what I was talking about. That's the Holy Spirit. He will hear what the Father says, and he'll tell you, this is what you need to get ready for. Here's what you need to do. Think of the benefits of that. He'll show you things to come. That's pretty amazing. Come on, there's times in ministry people have come up and said, hey, this is what's going to happen. And God has spoken to me and said, nope, this, and this. I can either decide to speak it or I can just keep it to myself. But if he tells me to speak it, I'll speak it. That's happened, and it's happened verbatim to what he told me and what I said. But this is all dependent on us being able. Does he love you less if you don't hear him or even don't obey him? No. Nothing you could do could make him love you less. And even if you do obey him, he's not going to love you more. He can't. He's perfect love. But it's dependent on us if we're wanting to walk in the things that he wants to bring into you to take over territory. You have to be able to hear him. You have to have the listening ear. So that is essential. If you're a believer, that's a game changer. If I can hear him and I can obey, that's a game changer. I believe God talks to me on a daily basis. He's always talking. I can't say that I'm always listening the way I should, but he's always talking. He's constantly trying to show me direction. Walk this way. Do this. It always works out for my benefit. if I follow his wisdom and instructions. Let me explain what I mean. Some of you will relate to this. Some of you maybe not. When I was a kid, we played a game called Ghost in the Graveyard. I don't know if anybody ever played that, but when we got saved, we sanctified that because we couldn't say Ghost in the Graveyard. We didn't want to give the devil any credit. So when they were little, we called it Daddy in the Backyard. And we had a lot of fun with that. I would go hide somewhere, and it'd be dark. You know, we'd had a big fire ring out there, and we were, you know, just having marshmallows and just having family time. It'd just be us. Sometimes they'd have friends over, but it would just be, let's play Daddy in the Backyard. And I would go hide somewhere away from the fire, and they'd come and find me. Now, we had horses, I had a barn, I had 16 acres of woods that butted up against hundreds of other acres. I wasn't allowed to go in the woods because you can't do that because we ain't coming back there, Dad. So I had to hide somewhere in the yard, in the front or side yard or, you know, around there. It's amazing. Maddie was just, she'd just be little. And I'd climb some big evergreen because, you know, evergreens have those branches that are like everywhere. So I'd climb some evergreen. I'm watching them. They don't know where I'm at. And here's her brothers. Go on. See if he's over there. And she's like, I don't. Oh, go on. And Mal, you go. I'm not going. They'd get Maddie or Mal, if they could talk him into it, to go try to find me. I would slowly climb down out of the tree and then jump behind him, and they'd just scream, and it was all race back to the base, and, you know, and we'd laugh and laugh and laugh. Now, when I was a kid, we didn't play Daddy in the Backyard. It was Ghost in the Graveyard. And we played as in the neighborhood. So all the neighborhood kids played. And it was fun. But how many knows at night, sometimes it can get pitch black in spots. I mean, like, real dark. And so I had my friend that lived across the street. His name was Mike. So, Mike, if you're ever watching, you'll remember this. We were running. He was it. And he's chasing me. And at night, doesn't it seem like you can run faster? I mean, and that's because you can't notice all of the details because everything's just flying by, man. And I'm telling you, I'm fast. I was fast. I was running, and I was like, and I could hear him coming, and I'm thinking, I'm going. And all I can remember was about the time I saw the tree, it was like right here. And that's all I remember. I hit the tree and bounced back, and it knocked me out. I was just coming to, and Mike is like, I know you're around here. And I'm thinking, find me, please. Find me. I can't even come to my senses. And finally, I came up, made it back to base, and I was safe. Okay, next game, Mike and I are still, we're friends. He's not it anymore. Somebody else is it. And we're running through, you won't know who this is, and she's, I don't even know if she's still alive. But anyway, Mrs. Williams' backyard. And it's dark, you know, still dark. And I'm as fast as I can. I'm running, and I see a clothesline. And I duck real quick, and I yell, clothesline! And all I hear is, oh! And I look back, and Mike is on the ground going, oh, just grabbing his throat. The next day, he had a big welt that went all the way up around. Well, my point is, I did call it out, but knowledge of what was ahead would have been a great benefit. Brett, there's a tree there, you idiot. Don't run into it. Hey, doofus, clothesline. You know, I remember seeing the clothesline and just ducked. I was like, whoo, that was a great move. Jim Brown would have been proud of me. Mike wasn't. Anyway, it would have helped out to know something was ahead and be able to get out of the way. But that should be the average Christian's life. We should be able to hear from God and go, hey, this is the way. Walk this way. Go this way home. Do this. There's people that are watching me that are here now. You know you're going to heaven. You know you're saved. You know if anything happens, you know you're going to glory. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But you also know you're winging it. Because you have a relationship with God, but it's like it was in the beginning. Like with me, it's not a dialogue, it's just a monologue. I just give God my wish list. I treat him like I do Santa Claus. And that's not how he is. He Will he give you good things? Absolutely. Is he against giving you good things? No, he wants you to have good things. But he wants a relationship with you. He wants to tell you, this is wrong. This will hurt you. Do you tell your kids, hey, why don't you do this? Because it's going to shock you. Take that fork, stick it right in here. You're not going to do that. No great parent or even a good parent would do that. How much more would God say, Brett, settle down. I can help you. Most of us, it's just been hit and miss. And so we, you know, okay, God, but if I'm in this world, how do I make this a better place so I can hear your voice? What if I could change my perspective and live better? Because I've only seen him one way. You know what I mean? I've looked at him one way the whole time. It's just been so this much dimensional. But what if I found out he's deeper than that? I just haven't went that way. We played most of our lives like we were in a pinball game. Boing. Boing. You know, we just go one way till we hit the wall. Boing. Go this way. And then we go, okay, that's not the way to go. Because what if we could figure that out? You know how you do it? Because his spirit is in you and he's already figured it out. But if we tapped into that. You see, our Christian life, our believing life with Jesus Christ shouldn't be bouncing off this way and the other. It should be one where people look at it and go, wow, that's God. Now, I understand we need to learn from our mistakes, and many of us, including myself, have made many. And some of them I'm like, I never want to repeat those. But what if I would have been listening, I didn't have to make so many? What if some of the heartache and the stuff I've put is exactly that I've put because I didn't listen? I get it. Oh, well, everybody's going through the school of hard knocks. A lot of my knocks probably were me, like, how many lumps do you want? Oh, three or four, bling, bling. You know, I did it myself. I don't know about you, but I get tired of being knocked around. I'm not saying you're never going to have challenges. I'm saying I think it's time that we started winning some of them. I want to win the challenges and give God the glory and credit for it. He's talking to you. He's talking to you all the time. He has something to say. He knows your situation. You can get answers in your word, in the book. Just go to the word. Find what's the mountain you're looking at. What's the word say about it? Meditate on that word. Think about it. Run it over and over. Write it down. Say it several times that day. Think about that. Use your imagination and say, God, what do I do about this? And listen. It doesn't always come the way we want it sometimes. Sometimes it comes where it's like, oh, you need to apologize. I don't want to apologize. You need to. Or you need to do this. You need to do that. And you just have to go, okay, I understand. It's not a coincidence that you're listening to this and those that are online. Did you know he orders your steps? He uses people to get your attention. He wants the truth of his word to set you free. Because that's what happens. When we get the revelation of what his word says, that's it. We just line up with that word. People ask, why do you always pray to line up with the word of God? Because that's truth. And the truth will set you free. But it doesn't, but I feel like this. It's not about your feelings. It's about truth. This is what his heart is, that you hear directly from him. Cut out the middleman. And he'll confirm things that you've been like, that's been you all along. He's been trying to tell you something and you've been passing it off. He might just say, hello, I've been here. Now, please understand, it doesn't mean you don't need other people. We need each other. Bear one another's burdens, pray for one another, uphold one another, most holy faith. I get that. His word says that. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. I asked my grandson, I said, hey, what's Tonto mean? Because I told him, if you ask him, he'll tell you. Well, not Tonto, I said, because Tonto always called the Lone Ranger what? Kemosabe. That's just a fun word for a four-year-old to say. He's five now, but if you ask him, hey, Arrow, what's Kemosabe mean? He'll go, trusted friend. I taught him that. But listen, if we're walking with Jesus, he's more than a trusted friend. Because, come on, is it not true? In him we move, we live, we have our being. Everything inside of us should be echoing and just be on fire with the good things of God. The things that don't line up with the word, they should not line up with our thinking. We should be taking our thinking and asking God, am I seeing this right? Is this something past my five senses? Show me the truth. And let the Spirit begin to show you. Everybody, we need balance. Correction, instruction. Kim and I need Pastor Gary and Drenda because they bring balance. If I need corrected, he corrects me. I need that. I don't like it, but I need it. God uses them. We just read scripture in John. We are God's sheep, and we should be able to hear his voice. Not just what to do, but just know that whatever he tells me is good because he loves me. We live in a society that rejection is rampant. Anybody ever been rejected? I talked about being picked on a team, but ever just feel like you're just rejected? Not maybe you're not included in a small group or somebody's talking, but they just, or when you walk up, they stop. You know? And the enemy plays off all that stuff. So if you've ever been rejected, would not the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comfort you? He might tell you they weren't talking about you at all, but boy, we'll buy the lie that they were, won't we? They were talking about you. That's why they shut up when you walked up. What if they were talking about where to go to eat? What if they were talking about, you know, something else? I want you to pray for this. I don't want anybody to know. We don't know that, but the enemy will just shoo, shoo, shoo. I've lost people, some of my own family, from believing lies or whatever. That's painful. So how do I handle that? I have to give that to Jesus. And the truth is, I still love them. But I just have to go to the Lord because I can't get comfort. I'm being rejected, but not from the Lord. So I can get comfort from him. He'll never reject me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. How about if he tells you truth instead of gossip? Isn't that cool? He can encourage you when you're discouraged. He can stabilize your emotions when they want to just go, what? You just got to give him the priority. You got to yield to him. You see, with God inside us, I told our core and our dream team today, this is what we still are like this. We still are trying to receive from God. We're still trying to, God, I just need this. I just need this. I need this healing. I need this. But if we understand what the word says, you already, by his stripes, it's already healed. So we have to get out of the receive mode. If we understand we've already received it, we have to get into the release mode. I have to release what I can't receive. I mean, I already have it. So it's not working because you already have it. It's there. You just have to release it because you have authority. That's a whole nother message, but But his voice can be life to you. Most of us, we don't think it's even available. But I'm telling you, we were doing praise and worship. I was standing right there. And I looked over here, and you can say it's been a long time, but I'm just going to tell you what happened. I'm standing right there, and I saw an angel walk this way. And I saw one go behind that over there. And I couldn't see him anymore. And then he went over about that far and disappeared. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I've placed them in strategic spots. Now, I don't know exactly all of what that means, other than they're here. Hi, guys. And I'm glad they're here. Most of us just like, God, why would you talk to me? Because you are believing the world's rejection. But God says, I love you. You are made in my image. I said Wednesday, and some of this isn't in my notes, but I said Wednesday. You know, the biggest deception started in the Garden of Eden when Eve saw the fruit and she looked at it and changed her perspective on what she saw, because now she's looking at it before God said, she'd seen it all the time. You understand that, because she's in the garden, so she can see it. She's seen it all the time. But now she's like, and the enemy says, God doesn't want you to have that fruit. And you can look it up in Genesis, because if you eat it, you'll be like him. But if you read in chapters before that, we are made in the image and likeness of who? She's already like him. But the enemy is going to deceive her and say, you know why? Because he can't do anything to you without your permission and cooperation. You have been given authority by Jesus Christ. That's this side of the cross. He went and took all of that. Death, hell, and the grave. All the keys. He's got them. All authority has been given to him, and now he gave it to us. Somebody says, well, how often does God speak to you? As often as he speaks to Andy. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Just keeping you awake. All the time. Acts 17:28. For in him we live, move, and have our being. Some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. What? He's part of me. Now he's inside me and it's just like, he's part of me. My identity is in him. My position is in him. My possession is what he's already gotten it for me. And my perspective has to change because it's in him. How does God see that? How does God see that mountain that's in front of you? Well, if I look at it through my own eyes, through my own emotions, through my own intellect, it seems pretty big. But if in him I move, I live, and have my being, I look at it through him, it isn't big at all. Because God says, you'll do greater things. We can get that out of the way. Most believers have said, how often does he speak? They say, I don't know, seldom or never. There's times I've tried to hear God so hard that I will say, he's not telling me anything. And maybe he is, but have you ever just tried so hard you're like, I don't hear anything. But that's not his will. His will, he's speaking all the time. In Romans, it says to be led by peace. Sometimes you have to do something that you don't like, but you still have a peace to do it. Some people are like, well, I don't like it because I don't like that. I don't want to do that. Well, there's a lot of things maybe, you know, I don't want to do, but I need to do because he told me to do it. And I have a peace. God told Israel in Isaiah 30 that they were going to go into captivity, but he's going to also deliver them. Isaiah 30:21, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand and whenever you turn left. This is fulfilled in the New Testament. God is always speaking. He's always telling you, here, Brett, go this way. Here, go this way. Here, Kim, go this way. Here, Tom, go this way. If you have a decision to make, ask God. He'll speak to you. He'll show you things to come. See, the problem is we wait till we run into the tree or the clothesline. We're procrastinators. We're starting a small group, but they're not meeting yet. What would happen if we listened and we did what he said? What would change? Everything. It would change if he said, I need you to do this or give this and don't argue with me, just do it. Have you ever heard your parents just say, just do this? Why? Because I said so. The beauty of this is God can back everything with word. Sometimes I don't know that my mom and dad, my dad's here, they could always back it up with a word, but they just felt it was right. And I'm just here to tell you, Kim and I raised 4 kids. We didn't always do it right. There's times that if we went back, we would change it. Because I would say, I would have done this different. But I didn't know. There was no Mr. Spock by me saying, read my book. You know, we started homeschooling our kids, and it wasn't popular back in that day. We got people that were mad. Oh, you shouldn't homeschool your kids because you will rob them of social activity. What do people complain about? Their kids in school because of what? Social activity. We were just like, we just wanted to protect our children. They had a lot of social activity at church. Would we change things? Probably wouldn't change those. But now, before you get mad at me, there are good schools and there are good things, and you can put your kids in good schools. I'm not saying don't do that. If you have a peace from God, you should do that. Your kid might be the changer. You know what I mean? I'll tell you something that's amazing to me that I know God did, and I don't want to embarrass Amy, but I'm going to embarrass Amy. Have you seen Sonny? Sonny's 4, Arrow's best buddy. Okay? Sonny can read. Sonny could read when he was like 1 or 2. They didn't teach him. They never taught him. There's videos. They're out looking at, they're at some wildlife thing, and there's these signs. This is the home of the, you know, and Sonny's reading this sign. I'm like, what is going on? Who taught him? The Holy Spirit must have taught him, because we didn't. I mean, I didn't have any choice in that, but I mean, I'm just like, that is amazing to me. We have a little Einstein amongst us. He was just at Arrow's party, and Arrow's unwrapping this big present. He's all excited, and he rips it off, and the back of it says what it is. He doesn't know what it is yet. Sonny read it to him. Oh, that's a Thomas the Train cranky. He read it right there. Oh, everybody's screaming. I'm like, how did he know that? He read it. I'm like, I didn't even read it. Crazy awesome. What would change in our perspective if we let God speak to us and we listened and we did it? I told you the story of traveling on the plane. I'm just going to condense it real quick. I had to get on the same plane that had engine trouble. Hours later, got on the plane. Rough takeoff, turbulence. You know, and the guy in front of me had been drinking the whole time, and he starts screaming, we're all going to die. He's yelling, he's losing it. We're going to die, the plane's going to crash. And their kids are starting to cry and everything. And the steward this and the steward die, if that's what you call guys, I don't know. They're all like, you know, looking like, somebody shut that man up. So I just put my hand on his shoulder and I said, look at me. And look at me. And I said, we are not going to die on this plane. He just looked at me like, and everybody, I mean, I got an audience of whoever's on the plane. We are not going to die. No, how do you know that? I said, because God told me and he's got a plan for my life and it's not to die on this plane. And he turned right around and said, just like, and everybody got, I mean, you could hear a pin drop. Got quiet. He turned right around and said, another beer, please. But we didn't die on the plane. Plane got where it was going, landed, all that stuff. You see, but God speaks. When you need him, if you listen, he's talking. He saved my life. He's shown me what house to buy. He's done it over and over again. We are about to move into our last house. Jesus. In Jesus' name. And it is the best. I mean, I love the house we live in now because we passed up on it 3 years ago because it was 30 miles away. And I didn't want to live 30 miles away. When we lived away from the church before, our kids were just, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper. And so we'd go through a drive-thru window, put some cheeseburgers in their mouth, and they'd go to sleep on the way home. It was all good. It's a little different now. So, I mean, it's a beautiful house. We love it. We've enjoyed it. But anyway, he's bringing us back closer. And we're excited about it. But this is the third house I've bought without an inspection. And the realtor that of the people that are buying our house, she said, "You did what?" I said, "I'm buying the house." You didn't get an inspection? No, this is the third house I've never gotten inspected. She just looks, shakes her head, and she goes, "Why would you do that?" And so I said, "Because God told me to buy it." She doesn't know how to process all of that. I said, "He gave me a dream. He told me to buy it. He told me to walk this out. And this is what we've done. And this is how it's happening." And she said, "Why won't you get it inspected?" I said, "Does it really matter? If I'm supposed to buy the house, I'd have to get it fixed if something was broke." And the guy that was inspecting the electric box, he goes, "He's got a point." So she didn't have anything to say. She goes, "I just wouldn't recommend that." I said, "My son-in-law probably wouldn't recommend it either, but he's just learned to be like, okay, whatever God, if he's telling you that, it's okay with me." That's what I love about Justin. He'll just like, if that's what the Lord says, I'm with you. That's about to happen. We've got about 3 weeks left. Praise God. So anyway, if you're looking at me now and you're listening and you're saying, "Brett, you don't even know, my life is a mess right now." That doesn't mean you're a bad person. It's not saying you don't love God. I'm not passing judgment. I'm trying to help. Some things you're a victim of. Maybe, you know, somebody else is causing all the turmoil or whatever. I get that. But he still loves you. And he still loves them. But for me, a lot of my past, I made it a mess. Does that make sense? Because I wasn't listening. Because I, you know, they weren't his decisions, they were mine. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path." I don't have all the answers. I have to trust him. He gave me a free will to listen and make decisions to follow. Now, if you do anything online, do you ever have to check those boxes? You are not a robot. Pick all these that have a bicycle tire in it. And you do that, and it still makes you do it again. Like somehow you missed one or whatever, and you're like, "I am not a robot." But God wants to be involved with you. Which way to go, he wants to tell you. Which way not to go, he wants to tell you. What to do, what not to do. Wouldn't you like to know, "God, am I supposed to marry this person? God, am I supposed to buy this house?" Why don't you ask him? I think we should have the type of relationship with God like that on a normal daily basis. You know, I'm changing. I mean, some of the things I preached before, I would not preach them the same way again because I've grown in him. I'm walking to that end. Lord, I just want to be better. I want to be better. You know, God met Paul on the road to Damascus, gave him specifics. He got blinded, but told him where to go, told him you're going to see a guy named Ananias, all this stuff, gave him specifics. You're going to get your sight back. This is where he got the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He received prophecy. And Paul wrote half the New Testament. And Paul thought he was doing right. He was killing Christians, thinking, "This is good." And God said, "I don't think so. I have a better plan for you." And so that's why Paul's like, if anybody would be disqualified, think about that. And God's like, "You are the man. You're the one I want to use." And he writes most of the New Testament. Why? Because Paul heard God and he did what he was told. I mean, he was told, here's the street name. Here's the person. Here's the house. That's awesome. God has told me specific things. I can only go by my experience, but things where he's told me things about, I mean, Wednesday night, he gave me words for people and somebody came up and said, "Nobody on this world knew what you just told me." And I'm like, well, give God glory, because I didn't know it neither. That's not real good English, but you know what I'm saying. I just knew it when I stood in front of him. You see, it's those things that are like nobody could have known but God. But God knows. He knows what you need. He knows how to get you there. You should listen to him. It just, I mean, people are like, I just want to be, hey. If you're that smart, then do something smart. Follow God. That's the smartest thing to do. You can hear God if you want. If you listen, you have to have a listening ear. Many of us, well, I was about to say, many of us in here have mothers. We all have mothers. Not me, Brett. I don't have a mother. But we do. So, I mean, if I put all the mothers behind a partition, and I put your mama back there and said, I want you to call everybody, I told them all, call the name of John. Let's see, I'm going to pick on John. Call the name of John. And they all started yelling, John, John. John, which one's your mom? He could just listen. That's not her. It's not her. It's not her. That's her. Why? Because he's heard that voice many, many times before. That's how we need to be with God. He's talking to you. You just haven't been listening. But if you listen, you will hear and be able to answer when he's calling you. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The most common way he talks is through his word, by faith. Get into your Bible. The word, the word, the word. It is written, it is written, it is written. And put the word and put your, if it applies, put your name in there. It's always going to work. He speaks in the still small voice in 1 Kings 19. He used wind and an earthquake and fire, big demonstrations. But he wasn't in those. I mean, he used them, but he was in that still small voice. See, his ways aren't always your ways. You're looking for something. Why don't you ask him and he'll show you what you're looking for? Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. When Jesus was born, think about this. He came in the form of a baby in a manger. They couldn't even get him in the hotel. So he comes in the manger. The people that see Jesus are just very few, if we think about it, and animals. But that's how the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came, in human form. Would you have come that way? I probably wouldn't have. I'd probably come in, Rocky music playing. Are you him? Absolutely. I mean, it'd be some big demonstration of something, but no, he didn't come that way. As a baby. And the parents were just ordinary Joes, so to speak. They're, you know, just people that believed. Just people that believed and that listened. The birth wasn't announced to kings, but to shepherds. He does things, I think, in ways that we'll miss if we're not paying attention, because he wants you to pay attention. He wants you to zero in and look. I mean, he could do things. He can make a donkey talk. He can use somebody like me. But the normal, he's not so showy. He wants faith. He wants you to believe. He wants you to see it and believe it, even if nobody else sees it. You know, she's not here this morning. But when she got saved, she would tell me, God's going to use you. And I was just a kid. She'd take me to some prayer meeting or something. And if you ask her, did you ever see him doing this? Or do you, if you ask her where this church is going to go, she'd probably tell you. Oh, my. Oh, yes. She'd lead a wooden Indian to Christ if you gave her a chance. But see, she already saw it. And that's one thing I love about my wife. Every day that I can even remember when our children were at home. And to this day, she does it every day to Maddie. Psalm 92, 12 through 15. She would quote that to him and tell him, you're going to do great things for God. Don't miss it. God wants that for his kids. He wants all of his children to follow his voice. Psalm 32, 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. He wants to show you ways that you can't even picture with your five senses. Psalm 32, 9, do not be like the horse, the mule, have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. What he's saying is, don't be so stubborn. You know what the bit is? And I've had horses. The bit makes the horse turn the way you want it to go, and he doesn't like it because it brings pain in his mouth. And God's saying, don't be like that. Just listen. There's people that'll go one way until something really stupid happens. Don't be that person. We are born again. We are God's sheep. Because you are God's, if you hear his voice, you can, if you want to. He's speaking. So I guess I take that back. It's not if. If you want to, he's talking. Proverbs 4:20, give attention to my words, my son. Incline your ear to my sayings. I'm almost finished. If you're a hunter or if you've ever been around horses, have you ever... Like, how about deer? If you do any kind of a sound, when we pulled out this morning, there was a big doe and a little baby fawn right by the playset. And as soon as the car hits the gravel from the cement driveway, their ears, whoosh, and I mean, they're just perked. They stand straight up, and you know, some are turned this way or that way. Horse does that, whatever, because that's the best illustration I can give you to an inclined ear. Where'd that come from? Have you ever been out playing daddy in the backyard and you hear something and you, sounds like it's coming from over there. You incline your ears. The slightest sound. God has the answer for whatever situation you're in. Perk your ears up. Twist them, turn them, whatever it takes. You have trouble in your finances? God has the answer. Trouble in relationship? God has the answer. Need a healing? God has the answer. You don't have to go through life just wondering, I don't know what to do. He has the answer. You don't have to do your own thing and ask God to bless it. You could do what God is telling you. It's already blessed. How about that? God has a way to bring you into a place of blessing, a place of joy, a place of health, peace, prosperity, and wholeness. That's his plans, and they're good. I don't know about you, but I want to live in what he promised. I do. I want to live in divine health. I don't want to be sick anymore. I'm not sick now, but I mean, I don't want it to even come near my dwelling. How about you? I want it to be on earth as it is in heaven. How do I get there? I incline my ear. What do I do? I need wisdom. I need knowledge. And there's, you know, I get it. I understand. We live in a fallen world. I get it. But we can take authority over some things that we don't have to let come in. We can be good. And people could look and say, wow. You know, now there's a marked spot in the world, pre-pandemic, post-pandemic. What happens now? How about you go into a store and you start coughing or sneezing? What do people do? Something. And you still see people with masks. And pre was just like, you know, you're like, I just sneezed, okay? I was just clearing my throat. You just want to, you know. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on my walk with him. That's what I want. I don't have to look to the left or to the right. I feel like Mr. Miyagi today.
Focus. Focus, Daniel-san.
Oh, I want to just look at him. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Father, in the